Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I thought, Trishy, are you there? I thought all this time, folks, that I was talking with you guys, and I wasn't. So it looks like Trishy dropped again. We believe that she's having some issues with the with India. So I will say what I said before. My apologies. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty, and we're waiting for Trishy to come back in. This is a show called Yan Pragya, which is public wisdom in Indian, the Indian language. And Trishy Jaiswal is one of our students from the Alcon School. This is her show, and we work together with her across all generations. It's part of our program, intergenerationally working together. So we have Melissa Sassy that we're waiting, who's in there. Okay, she's back again. Just excuse our technical difficulties. You know how the internet can be. Hold on one moment.
Hello?
Yes, Trishy, we are live, my dear. So,
okay.
Are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready. Are
okay.
You?
Okay. Yes, I am, definitely. We're going to bring on Miss Melissa Sassy. Are you ready?
Melissa Sassy's here. Hi.
How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you very, very much for having me on this wonderful Wednesday, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is. And Trishy,
so
would you meet with
the Wednesday? Wednesday, maybe. Oh, sorry
yes,
for talking
absolutely.
Over you.
No problem. Well, Trishy Jaiswal, this is Melissa Sassy. Melissa, this is Trishy.
Hi, Miss Melissa.
Hello, hello. Nice to meet you.
Same. It's fantastic to see you today.
So, Trishy, shall we start? Would you like to take it away?
All right. Namaskar. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show, Jan Pragya, Public Wisdom. People's voice is important, and it needs to be heard. Be it Generation X, Millennium, and my generation, Generation Z. In the fourth segment of this weekly show, Jan Pragya, I would like to talk about something that is essential for a quality life, and that is good health and well-being, with special focus on mental health. Now, let us imagine that coronavirus never happened, which is quite impossible. But before it happened, we were never really concerned about our health that much. Yes, I mean, we were a little cautious about our physical health, but what about our mental health? Today in conversation with Ms. Melissa Sassy, we would dive right into what is good health and well-being and how technology impacted our good health. So let's welcome Ms. Melissa Sassy from the IBM. Hello, Ms. Melissa.
Excellent. Hi, thank you again for having me, and what a wonderful topic. I think that we've all, experienced our ups and downs, and I think it's been you know, over the last year, probably more downs than ups. You know, I know that at least applies to me. And I think talking about our mental health and talking about our struggles openly, talking about our vulnerabilities, you know, is empowering. So, you know, I hope to talk about some of those things today with you and your listeners.
Yes, and I'm so eager to have this conversation with you. So she, Ms. Melissa, is the global head of IBM HyperProtect Accelerator, who is also empowering early stage startups through technology and business acceleration. She's a judge for Call for Code and has worked in many big techs. Truly a pleasure to have you, Ms. Melissa. So let's begin our conversation with you. According to you, what is good health? Is it inclusive of mental health?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's not just about, you know, eating the right food, getting the right amount of exercise, you know, doing, you know, things in moderation that may impact your, you know, physical health. But I think your emotional health, your mental health, you know, is often more, you know, I don't want to say more important, but sometimes it is. You know, imagine that you are, you know, not feeling great on a particular day, or you're not feeling great on, you know, over a series of days. You know, sometimes for those of us who, you know, suffer from, you know, kind of something bigger than just a bad day, you know, sometimes it puts you into a situation where, you know, you can't get out of bed, and you don't have the willpower to go out and, you know, go to work, study, you know, engage with your friends. So I think it's extremely important. I feel like in my life, I have had a lot of ups and downs, and, you know, the majority of those ups and downs have been more, you know, mental than anything. And I often find that I am also my own worst enemy. You know, it's not necessarily coming from other people doing something or saying something per se. You know, those things happen, of course, and, you know, we have to react to them. But I find that, you know, I am my worst bully. And, you know, that voice that I have in my head is much more powerful than the voice that I hear from others. And I've tried to do a much better job, you know, over the last 2 years specifically, around, you know, what I would consider not being such a perfectionist. I am an overworker. I am a perfectionist. I feel like I struggle from imposter syndrome. And I feel like when you have this thought in your head around everything needing to be perfect and just right, you're constantly setting yourself up for failure, and it's not healthy. You know, I often, you know, get into a room working in tech where I look around and I'm the only woman in the room. Or, you know, I talk with friends, you know, the Black and Brown community in the United States or in other locations around the world, you know, depending upon where they are, and they look around and they say, well, wait a second, I'm the only one like me in the room. And, you know, do I belong here? Am I an imposter? You know, am I smart enough? Do I deserve the seat at the table that I'm sitting at? Did I get here by accident? And so I do a lot of reading on my growth mindset and, you know, how to fight that inner bully. And, you know, part of that is I have established over the last 2 years what I call my Thrive Hive. And what I mean by that is a group of friends who are not afraid. And frankly speaking, they're all women. And it's just, it wasn't planned out to be all women. It's just like that. And we empower one another. We don't compete. We don't compare. You know, we try to inspire one another. And when we're feeling like an imposter or feeling like we don't belong or don't deserve that seat at the table or we're having a bad day, you know, we reach out to one another to try to lift each other's, you know, spirits, you know, if you will. And I think that's really helped, you know, me by having this group of people who really, again, inspire me, empower me, and get me out of my own head, Does that make sense?
Yes, a lot of sense, actually. And I relate to you on a greater level. Ms. Gates?
Yes. You know, Srishti and Melissa, listening to what you said, I really appreciate your openness, Melissa. I really do. I think it's really important to have girlfriends that you can really talk to. You know, Srishti and I, we talk about, you know, women coming together all the time. And having all the time, you know, Srishti and I talk about this subject practically every time we have our class. And so I'd love to ask you, how do you feel that technology plays a part? I often find that I have to take a break. I love technology, and I know you do too. But I often find that even myself personally and a lot of other people I talk to, as much as we love it, we have to take a break because it can be addictive and also sometimes feel like it can cause me to be a little bit short with people around me because I'm just so into what I'm doing. How do you feel that, you know, being online all the time and being on tech all the time, as much as we love it, how do we balance that out with our mental health?
Yeah, I think it's important to have a healthy balance. I am the chair of the IEEE working group that focuses on digital skills and readiness. And we established the first global standard in the world for what it means to be digitally skilled and ready. And, you know, it has there are 7-8 competencies that go into that. Emotional intelligence, so it's how do you manage your emotions? How do you regulate your emotions? How do you identify, you know, the emotions or emotional reactions or crucial conversations that you're having with others? So what are your online relationships look like? There are components that are, you know, safety and security and digital literacy and collaboration, you know, media literacy, all of that kind of stuff. But one of the most important factors in that competency model, and for those of you who are not familiar with the IEEE is the largest engineering organization on the planet, 400,000 members worldwide. So they, you know, create a lot of standards. So it's a really big thing to announce the first global standard. And it's incorporated into my PhD research, which is all about the digital inclusion of underserved and underrepresented communities and the impact that that has on healthcare outcomes, education outcomes, agricultural outcomes, you know, et cetera. And one important aspect of being online is healthy habits, and that means screen time. You know, managing when you are on, when you are off, and making sure you're regulating that appropriately. You know, I'm a victim too. You know, I'm online way too much. I'm on my computer way too much. So, you know, I actually struggle with it. I took all of my work apps off of my mobile phone. So on my iPhone, I have no access to my work calendar. I have no access to work email. I have no access to Slack. If I'm working, I'm at my computer. If I'm not working, you know, if you need me and it's urgent, you're going to have to call me, text me, you know, Twitter DM me. You're going to have to find me another way. And everybody knows that. And I started that just with my first job, you know, after first joining IBM. I spent 5 years at Microsoft before that. I worked on Wall Street. I worked in consulting. I did a lot of really interesting things in my career. But I found that I was working 24 hours a day. And I think it's incumbent upon us to block our calendars during the day to have time for us. It's important to take vacation and really actually take vacation. I did that for the first time last year and this year. I have historically worked through my vacation, and, you know, I may travel to the beach somewhere. I may travel to an amazing place, but I didn't set time away from, you know, for myself. And I realized that because I didn't, I was influencing others on my team to have unhealthy habits as well, because they saw me working through my vacation, so they felt like they had to too. And so I think it's very important for us to regulate ourselves, but be a good influence on others. Take vacation, take time away, you know, take time for your hobbies, and know when to say no, and realize that the company is not going to burn to the ground if you don't you know, if you take a vacation. You know, there's this saying that says there's no I in team. And so this is where you need to rely on your team to have your back and make sure that while you are on vacation, that they're supporting you in your vacation, which my leadership thankfully does. So I think it's important to have good role models, a good group of friends, and, you know, managing your time effectively. Does that make sense?
Oh, my God. I mean, Melissa, you have just said everything that I'm normally saying, and you have put it in such a way that is so simplistic to understand and clear. Thank you so much. You have no idea.
You're
how
welcome.
Many people really, no, I'm really serious. How many people really needed to hear that? And we would love to have you back, you know, to go and talk and brown people and all of these areas that we handle. I mean, you have no idea how perfect what you said was. Trishti, right over
Thank
to you.
So, like you said, Ms. Melissa, we are being available so much, don't you think? I mean, it has a lot of adverse impact. So how do you suggest that we maintain our work life, be it school or work or job, and at the same time, we keep ourselves sane?
I think the biggest piece is relying on your team, being able to let go and trust others to get stuff done. I think the other aspect of it too is purposely set time away, you know, away for yourself. And, you know, I think we're all now in an environment where we're working remote, studying remote. Not everybody has access to the internet. 50% of the world lacks access to the internet. You know, and a bigger proportion of people who might have access, you know, can't afford it or may not have the digital skills necessary to create those outcomes that I talked about earlier. You know, so I think it's important as we bring the next generation of people, you know, the next billion people online, that they understand what we've seen and what we've learned, you know, so that we're sharing our skills forward and really, you know, kind of making sure that, you know, others are not, you know, kind of learning the bad lessons that we've had by being online too much or working too much. And again, I'm an overworker. You know, my leadership team worries about me every day because I volunteer for way too many things. I take on way too many things. I'm learning how to say no, and learning how to say no in a way that is objective, constructive, you know, thoughtful, strategic, objective, but also, you know, empathizing with the you know, wants and needs, you know, of others. I think it's also about prioritizing and making sure that you know in your head, what do I have to get done today? And it absolutely has to get done today. What can really wait? And, you know, kind of recognizing when you need, like really need downtime, when you're burnt out and you just don't want to do something, you know, step away, take that break, whatever it is that fires you up, whatever it is that relaxes you, whatever it is that puts you in your zone, you know, identify that stuff, make a plan so that, you know, when you recognize you're feeling a certain way, know how you can bring yourself out of it. And again, I'll circle back to that Thrive Hive that I have of, you know, when I can't get out of my own head, who can I talk to help me get out of my own head so that I have a better work-life balance? But I'll tell you, my boss right now, I would go on a sword for that woman. My VP, same thing. You know, they're there for me. They care about me really as a human. And I've never really had that in my career, and I'm very lucky that I have it now. I never realized that when you, you know, interview for a job, you take on a new role, what is most important, who is your leadership team, who are the people you're working with, because you become the people who are around you. And so I try to be a good influence, but I also make sure I understand who the heck is influencing me and when do I need to stand my ground, step back, focus on me, my life, my personal life, my career development, whatever it is, you know, putting myself first and knowing when it's okay to do that.
Yeah, I I think I agree with you on the all the points, and like how taking care of your own self is so important, and at the same time empathizing with each other, because this thing is mutual. And I must say that it needs a lot of courage to be so open about your own self, to speaking out your mind. I mean, even at some points I feel some hesitancy, but with time I think I will be able to do so.
Yeah, I think that it takes time. You know, I'm 45 years old, and I don't feel like I really knew myself until I turned 40. Like, I was just kind of going around. I thought I did, but in reality, you know, I had so many insecurities. I still do have insecurities. We all do. I think it's important to own your vulnerabilities, not be afraid to share them, even share them publicly. If there's something empowering about saying, I suffer from X, here's what I do about it, and here's how I better manage myself. It humanizes you. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I woke up at 5 in the morning. I couldn't sleep the night before, and I'd slept for 2 hours. Not enough sleep. I just couldn't sleep. I woke up at 5 and finally decided I'm going to work because my brain is going a million miles a minute. I had a lot of meetings. By the end of the day, I was so tired, meeting after meeting after meeting. I even cooked while I was having a video call because I didn't have time to make my own food, nor did I have time to eat my own food. I ate it while I was on a video call. 5 o'clock comes around. So I've been working for 12 hours straight, no real break except for a few minutes here and there, eating, cooking, everything while I'm on a call, various calls. Even on video most of the time. You know, I'm fatigued. I realized I had a meeting at 5:30 with a very, very senior person within IBM, our chief technology officer of our cloud business. She has one person in between her and our CEO. IBM has 320,000 employees. So imagine, you know, senior person, she's got thousands of people on her team. I sent her a Slack message, and I said, I know we have a meeting at 5:30. I've been working since 5 a.m. This may, you know, come across wrong, but I'm kind of tired for a meeting today. I don't feel like I'm going to be in top form, and I want to be in top form when I meet with you. I hope this doesn't, you know, make you think less of me, but I need a break from the call. Are you okay with that? She appreciated my openness. She appreciated my honesty. She appreciated me owning a vulnerability that I have and also being straightforward and clear. She said, you know what? Don't worry about today's meeting. If there's anything you need to do coming out of it, I will let you know personally.
And that is something that's very, very important. This is great for everyone to hear because, you know, even personally myself and even Srishti, okay? Srishti may be in school and I may be running a company or running a program with, you know, you in that way. But, you know, Melissa, as you said, it really doesn't matter, you know?
Life's going to go on if you don't show up for that call, but own it. Don't be afraid. Now, don't get me wrong. If every single day you're tired, every single day you have an issue, you're constantly changing meetings, you know, that's a different story. Then there's a conversation that needs to be had. But, you know, it is important to have a mental health day, a mental health hour, a mental health evening. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. And people are not going to think less of you. Chances are they're going to respect you because you own something so sensitive and deeply personal.
You know, Melissa, we definitely have to have you back because there's a lot to what you're saying because I find it depends on who is saying it and who's asking for it sometimes. Because sometimes...
That's exactly right.
And we sometimes what we do is we train people on how to treat us. I love what you said earlier. How you had your staff having unhealthy habits because they watch what their boss does. They're watching you, and they don't want to let you down, and they want to make sure that they're keeping up with what they need to keep up with. So as a result, they feel that they need to be driven in the same way. And so what I try to have people understand is everyone operates very differently.
Oh, it's true. I operate on two different speeds. It's stop and it's go, go, go. There's no in between. And I realize that, you know, it can really be hard on others who have a different, you know, a different way of working, who are more even key all the time. I just don't work like that. And I've had to adjust myself in a lot of different ways to recognize that I can't expect others to operate the same way I do, nor can they expect for me to operate the same way they do. But I there's this other saying that I really like, and it's empowered women, and it could be empowered people. So let's just call it people. Empowered people empower other people. Empowered women empower other women. And so I think it's very important for us to think about how can we empower and inspire others, you know, to have that balance in life, to own your vulnerabilities, and everything's going to be okay if that whatever thing, you know, isn't perfect. Sometimes good is good enough.
Yes, yes, yeah, you know, I agree. I think I agree in some cases. You know, I just think that what you said was on point. It's okay. I'm sorry, I'm waiting for Trishy because she's been dropping, the technology has had her dropping in and out. So I think
it's okay. You know what? Technology is sometimes not our friend. As many, you know, I think I talked a little bit about internet access, and half the world doesn't have access, and some of us, I'm in the Dominican Republic today,
forward.
So sometimes my internet's in and out, you know.
Exactly. So here's Trishy back. I'm looking forward to having you back to talk about some of these things, but we will talk another time about that. Trishy, so I know we're up for our last question with Melissa. What would be your last question with Melissa?
Ben, my last question for you would be that in what way would you like to convey to our listeners to make the best use of technology while taking care of their physical health?
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, the biggest thing is setting the right balance that's appropriate for you and setting the right boundaries that are appropriate for you. Not everybody's the same. My boundaries may be different than yours. Your boundaries may be different than mine. Know yourself. Know when you need to say no and step away from your device when you need to step away. Step away from that bully when you need to step away, whether it's inside of your head or a real cyber bully. Know when to engage and when to step back.
Well, very well said. And I'm reminded of Dave Eggers, but here though there are no oppressors, no one forcing you to do this. You willingly tie yourself to these leashes, and you willingly become utterly socially autistic. You no longer pick up on basic human communication cues. You're at a table with three humans, all of whom are looking at you and trying to talk to you. And you're staring at a screen, searching for God knows what. So with this, we would like to come to the end of the fourth segment. And it was truly, truly a pleasure to have you, Ms. Melissa. And we look forward to having you another time, another day with another team. Stay tuned.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for
having me. Thank
you
so much, everyone.
Come on. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. And thank you, Trishy, and thank you, Melissa, for being on today. And we are going to close this episode. Thank you so much again, everyone.
See you again next week. Thank you.